Hi there, this is John Falola. Thank you for joining me on today's broadcast of Startup Nation World. Today's topic is about ROI and sovereignty. Should I start by saying Ran Candidi? And it's about well wishes to my brothers and sisters up north. And as much as we have cultural diversity and the beauty of people there, and their differences in terms of the fact that they place premium on their culture, their religion, and they expect communal respect. So, to know them is to know that they respect people and they expect to be respected. So, one of the amazing facts about the future is this, or about the nation is this. The North has contributed immensely to Nigeria's development in terms of people who are committed to building the nation. There's been a long cultural antecedent that shows that most families are dedicated to raising kids who go into the military, who go into Air Force, Navy, and also serve in different civil services office, you know, and I think that's a precedent to what was projected in 1963, which I understand that the North wanted to leave Nigeria. They wanted to become a separate entity, but the Queen of England sold the idea of leadership to them. So since then, the North has been politically driven. You know, they indoctrinate every kid, every son and daughter of the land about politics, about how it's been played, about the fact that they want to be important, you know, in dispensing the good dividends of good governance in Nigeria, which is also a good thing, you know, a good culture. And I think every other region is beginning to imbibe the same culture, you know, paying attention to the importance of everyone participating in every stream of leadership opportunities. So, with the brevity of my time, there's really not much to talk about. Okay, let me address the issue of Boko Haram and the likes, and the recent trends of kidnappings and you know, vices that you have, bandits and all of that. I think that over the years, wrong seeds were sown in the North. You know, we've allowed religion to overwhelm, you know, our consciences or humanity. I really do think that, you know, everything in life, there has to be some level of moderacy. If you go to the UAE, if you go to even Saudi, precisely in the UAE, if you go to even Morocco, Egypt, their personal beliefs does not become a public liability. That is to say that you see them practice a peaceful, yes, you can look at them as people who always defend their rights or stand for what they believe in, right? But they are committed to national development, they are committed to economic growth and strikes. They are committed to, you know, the collective prosperity of a nation. Which is why I was stunned when I saw, you know, the massive development in Morocco and all of that. And it just told me that Islam is a religion of peace, you know. And I know that even in the North, there's a Christian minority and those who are in between who don't have what it is that they believe. I believe that there's some people like that. My own point about this is this: beyond our tribal or religious, you know, leanings, it's quite important that we place our humanity, you know, above all things. You know, I understand the fact that one of the reasons why I couldn't visit, or I couldn't, I had always longed to visit or to stay in the North, because my dad always told me about his time in stint in Kaduna, Borno, and the likes. And he mentioned his stint in Port Harcourt. And we both stayed in Enugu as well. So this is just because I wanted to tour Nigeria. I wanted to experience, you know, our cultural differences and all that. But I remember trying to telling him then I wanted to visit or go to Kaduna, or the fact that I saw, you know, my extended family returned back to Lagos in the early 2000s because of religious violence or war, or because of issues around faith, and which is still existent in Kaduna till today, where you have Southern Kaduna and the North Kaduna and Northern Kaduna. So all these things are not something that we should just sweep under the carpet. If you're going to have collective prosperity and national development, I really do think that the basis of our faith is not to persuade people with death or threat of death that they should join our faith. The basis of our faith should be in how we treat people, how we relate to ourselves, how we respect ourselves, how we impact lives. Then people will decide, okay, I love the way these guys practice their faith, I want to be part of it. But saying that you would have people, you know, be forceful or be forcefully inclined to take up a religion, it's fake, because even if you force them, they don't believe with their heart. It's the honest truth. And trust me, our diversity is beautiful. The fact that you are Muslim and you believe in Allah is the same God. It's that we have different interpretation of our faith. But one thing is common to both Christianity and Muslim is value for human life, value for your nation, value for your community, value for those that you claim you love and all that. So I really think that, I believe that a new generation of young, enterprising, amazing, you know, Northerners are rising. People who are equipped with information, who can compete at a global stage, who can think, you know, at a global level. You know, I'm actually amazed at the recent trends and developments. But I'm also concerned about the fact that the trends around kidnappings of kids in schools is because there are people who betray the trust of your communities, people who are not part of your community originally, people who migrate from your borders and have nothing to lose. When you have them in your community, they have nothing to lose, and they've seen it as a business whereby they can kidnap kids and demand ransom, take money, and nothing happens. Our law enforcement too has a huge role to play. I believe that these things that are happening in the North, if it were to be another region, it will have stopped. I believe that our armed forces are complacent to the fact that this Boko Haram, thank God that Boko Haram is already fading away. The rise of banditry and kidnappers are also part of the issue. You know, it's not a new business that people are trying to, and that is because of abject poverty. It's not because of just religious inclination, it's because of abject poverty. People have seen, it's like human trafficking, people have seen it as an opportunity to kidnap someone and get paid for. So I think that we need to review the fact that as blessed as the North is, the North needs to start thinking about collective prosperity, whereby the son of nobody can become somebody. The almanjeries on the road abandoned can become or can have a place in society. Let me tell you a story. I've always told people this, that most of the people who have been a victim of Boko Haram, especially the Chibok girls, or people who have been affected by kidnappings and banditry, or who's lost a loved one, can never remain the same except God heals them. Except Allah heals them. Because they have a resentment towards Nigeria, towards the communities that they stayed in the North. If you ever lost loved ones by virtue of the fact that people killed them because they don't believe in the same faith and all of that, you would realize that those people live with resentment. And all these things are issues that has been swept under the carpet for long, that needs to be resolved for there to be massive development. As amazing as the North is, the North are even much more exposed than most regions. But the fact that we feel or we think, even I read through history that in the north they have been teaching kids Arabic before education came. So I'm wondering why there shouldn't be a culture of education in the north. You need educated minds to be able to defend the north, to be able to become great leaders that will provide leadership, that will contribute to our national development. Any loop-sided development affects us all, whether you're in the south, whether you're in the north. If the south produces a generation that is lopsided in their mental capacity, it will affect the whole nation. If the north does the same, it will affect the whole nation. So it is a national call for everybody to wake up to the responsibilities. Even I call on teachers, those who are involved in dispensing education across the north, across the south, across every part of Nigeria. It is their responsibility to build a generation that can defend our society, that can protect our future, that can preserve generations unborn. So, Nagode, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your time. I really do believe that the North is so blessed with so much resources. I hope you know that the North has the highest numbers of natural resources. So really, with a subnational bill, every region, every state can have national development and experience dividends of development. So it's our responsibility to hold ourselves to the highest levels of accountability, such that everybody experiences or feels the dividend of democracy. So thank you for listening. Make sure you have a wonderful weekend ahead. I remain your host,